You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
My home teacher that came to my house was a science fiction person, and so she gave me some great science fiction and fantasy books to read. For example, I read Lord of the Rings trilogy when I was in grade school. I have no idea how many times I've read 1984, and they tend to show up in my music, especially when I'm looking at society and some of the things that are going on in today's world. There's a lot of analogies that Orwell and those guys wrote about that I'm kind of looking at and going, huh, well, that sounds familiar.
Welcome to the True Fiction Project, a podcast series that explores the origins of fiction. Every week, we begin with an interview, nonfiction, followed by a creative piece, fiction, inspired by something from the interview. The idea is to demonstrate, of course, that fiction is born out of our life experiences. Now, here's your host, storyteller, author, public speaker, health and wellness expert, Renita Hora.
Welcome to the True Fiction Project. I am your host, Renita Hora. And we have with us today a musician. Bill Abernathy has embarked on an exceptional journey, courageously navigating through the ebbs and flows of his musical and corporate life. What does that mean? We are going to ask him. He has released a series of singles in the adult contemporary charts. We're going to talk about some of his music and why or how or in what way it's related to science fiction. So without further ado, hello, Bill.
Well, hello, and thank you very much for having me. I'm excited to be here and chat with you today. It'll be fun.
I am very excited. I have a whole slew of questions, starting out with just a little bit about your journey. You have been part of the corporate world as well as the musical world. Explain that to our audiences.
I think it's pretty simple. I did a lot of music when I was young, and that was my education and all that. I went to the conservatories of music and studied all that. And then I decided, it was kind of decided for me just because of an issue that I had with my voice, but I decided to step away from music and just get what I consider to be a normal job and live my life kind of that way. And that normal job kind of evolved over the course of time. I ended up sitting on the leadership team of one of the largest corporations in the world and got to travel all over the world and do all kinds of really cool things, and did that for 43 and a half years. And then when that came to an end and I got the opportunity to retire, I reached down into my file and found a bunch of songs that I had written over the course of time. And so got together with some friends, went in the studio, started making records, and I don't know, five records later and a few million streams and all that, here we are talking about music. So it's been an interesting ride.
So what was the company you were working for?
For Bayer. Depending on where you are in the world, it's Bayer in Europe. In the United States, we just call it Bayer. I worked in their agricultural division. Mm-hmm. I had a big old long, really impressive sounding title. I was the head of the logistics excellence for North America was my title. So essentially what that meant was I was a bit of a supply chain guru. So I worked with various and sundry manufacturing sites, warehousing sites, and administrative sites, analyzing their business processes and coming up with improved ways for them to do what they do. And did that for a long time. It was a lot of fun. Had a great career. Yeah.
Very interesting, though, that and I don't know how to even react to it, that they would pick you out of music school conservatory training and put you in logistics. I mean, it's on one hand, it's good to know. And on the other hand,
if you think about it, it's not so different. So a lot of what I did was really program and project management, right?
I see.
Which is not so different than writing a song. You know, you have to have an opening, you have to have an ending, you have to tell your story, you have to make your point, right? And then at the end of the day, you have to wrap it all up and put a bow on it. So it's really not so much different than writing a song. Just the content was a little different. How's that?
No, that's great. That's great. And I love the fact that you are talking about being a storyteller and creating a story with a beginning, middle, and end, because really that is the premise of the show and everything that we do here. The True Fiction Project, it's all about the creative work, which is exactly that, the story. So 43 years after doing this, you go back into music. Did the thing with your voice sort itself out or fix itself? And how do you go from there to 2 million or so streams? I mean, that's incredible.
I had multiple surgeries over the course of time on my voice. You know, for those that know music, sometimes you get what's called vocal nodes. Well, I got vocal nodes when I was young and attempted to let them heal themselves, and that didn't work out. And then over time, I had a few surgeries, and it got to the point where it's better. You know, I will never be the guy that I was when I was 19, but I'm 66 now, so I'm not going to be that guy anyway, right? But yeah, it's better. So I thought, well, I've got all these songs. I wonder what would happen if I made a few records. And the first record that I made won some songwriting awards, and then I followed that up with another album, and won a bunch of stuff, and found that actually there is a audience out there in the world for an old hippie sitting around in his loft making music.
So I'm so curious about that. How do you find, it's difficult for anyone to find an audience. So how do you find your audience? How did you, how do you? At that age, at that stage, where do you start from? How do you get it going?
Yeah, well, the music industry is an interesting place to operate in anyway, you know, so it doesn't really work like any other business, right?
Right.
So you really have to spend quite a bit of time looking at who's listening to your music, analyzing data. It kind of falls back into my corporate gig a little bit. You look at the situation, you analyze the situation, you figure out how that situation could get better and how you can expand it. And over the course of time, through great management, I worked with Michael Stover at MTS, and through great management, a lot of press, doing a lot of what we're doing today, I found that there are people out there across the world that listen to my music. So it's pretty cool to pull up, you know, all the data. We're data driven in today's world, right? So pull up all the data and see people in Australia and England and South America and Ukraine seems to listen to my music a little bit. So, you know, it's just kind of cool to realize that there seems to be a place out there for everybody. Now, I'm never going to be Taylor Swift, clearly, and nobody wants to see me dance on stage. That's a fact, right? But there are people out there that listen to what I do and like what I do. And so it's kind of cool to realize that I'm not alone in this world, I suppose, right?
Yeah, no doubt. But how did you get your music out to these audiences around the world?
Well, it's probably no different than your podcast, right? Yeah, you advertise, right? And you see what information the advertisements glean, and then you tweak your advertisements, and then you find who's watching and who's listening. So it's really no different than that. It's just business, right? And so once you find kind of a sweet spot, which, you know, I've been fortunate enough to have found, then you have some songs that people can relate to, that they can either laugh to or cry to, or just maybe sometimes a song that just makes you think, right? When you find those folks, you find that there's an organic element of growth that happens. Somebody likes it, they send it to a buddy who sends it to a buddy who sends it to a buddy, and the next thing you know, you've got a pretty decent sized audience.
And why do you think they are relating to these songs? Is it the story? Is it the music? Is it both? Is it everything?
Well, as a songwriter, you have an advantage, right? Because you could actually just share what you're thinking. I write a veritable plethora of different kinds of songs, right? So on the album that's out now, the three songs that have been put out have all went number one on multiple charts, hundreds of thousands of streams, you know, and all that stuff. And they're kind of introspective songs, right?
Interesting.
They're kind of looking at yourself and saying, okay, here I am at 66. What am I doing? Why am I the way that I am? And how can I improve? That kind of thing. And then there's the songs like we're probably going to talk about today that are a little bit more science fiction and politically tainted, which I have found that people tend to enjoy if I base that on comments that I get on social media. So
interesting.
Yeah, it makes it fun.
Dying to get into those. Before I do, though, when you say you advertise, are the ads pointing them to your Spotify streams, or how does it work?
Well, it's not dissimilar from you, probably. So Spotify is a big deal in the music industry, right? Apple, iTunes, Amazon, you know, all those places. My stuff's available in all those spots. And when you push it, which is not my forte, by the way, I kind of believe in staying in my lane. So I make music and then I hand it off to the professionals, right? And they do all that. And they figure out where it's going to go and who's going to listen to it and all that. So I just get to sit back and watch the show.
You get to sit back and watch this show that you have created about stories of science fiction and social political issues. So many questions. Is this the through line for all of your music or the particular song you are going to share with us today?
I have what I would call five songs spread out over different albums that have these what I call social statements in there. Now, I'll be honest with you, I am a science fiction guy. I love it. I have read it and studied it my whole life. It started actually when I was a little kid. I got a heart disease and had to miss a year of school, right? And my home teacher that came to my house was a science fiction person. And so she gave me some great science fiction and fantasy books to read. So, for example, I read Lord of the Rings trilogy when I was in grade school.
Oh, wow.
I have no idea how many times I've read 1984 and Fahrenheit 451 and, you know, all the great science fiction classic. And they tend to show up in my music, especially when I'm looking at society and some of the things that are going on in today's world. There's a lot of analogies that Orwell and those guys wrote about that I'm kind of looking at and going, well, that sounds familiar. So, yeah.
So 1984, just let's talk about that one for a sec. We could talk about all of these, but that one for a sec, considering we are so way past 1984, I would love to ask you, when you read it in grade school, sort of what your thoughts or emotions or ideas were versus the way the world turned out.
Well, you know, Orwell had a very, you know, it's obviously dystopian, right?
Yeah.
A very dystopian look at the world. And then when I was a kid, I looked at it and I go, oh, God, I'm glad that'll never happen, right? But unfortunately, I do actually have a T-shirt that I wear regularly that says, let's make Orwell fiction again. So you see a lot of things in society that trigger those thoughts for me. So all that information that you put in your mind, it's going to come out. And when I'm writing, those memories and the analogies to what I see on TV and what I read in the newspaper and all that, I look at that and go, man, that sounds a whole lot like Orwell to me, right? So love it.
So what is the song you're going to share with us today? Has a very interesting title.
It's called Save Your Drama for Your Mom, and it's a different song. So the first three songs that we released off this album are really introspective and very deep in thought and kind of self-evaluation or what is love and how hard it is to kind of share yourself with people at my age. But then Save Your Drama came from watching the news, and it fascinates me how we as a society are so susceptible to drama and how it's utilized in our society, particularly in politics and in the news cycle, to generate clicks and follows and all that, right? It's not about information as much as it is about dramatizing what's out there. If you're familiar, right, with 1984, which I'm sure you are, that was a thing in that movie, right? The newspeak, all that. You can't say these words because it's offensive, so we're going to change them to these words. It's fascinating to me And the analogies just come one right after the other. And I remember when I sat down to write this song, it was one of those kind of pissed off songs, right? I was watching something on TV and I thought, are you freaking kidding me? And I think what it was one of the politicians of the day had decided that he had something so important to say that he said it, you know, at his news conference, right? And literally then just physically dropped the mic. He was so impressed with what he had said, which was incorrect, by the way, that he wanted everybody to understand this is how important this is. I'm going to, not a mic drop moment. He literally dropped the mic and walked off stage. And I thought, really, are you that impressed with yourself, Ben? Stop the madness. And so that's how the song kind of started. And then it evolved.
It evolved from there. I see.
Yeah.
Amazing. Save the drama for your mama. That pertains to my state of mind, certainly this morning.
Well, I mean, if you want to draw an analogy back to my corporate gig, right? I had three goals every day when I went to work. I would go to work and the first goal that I had was to do my job.
Yeah.
Right. Seems simple enough. The second goal that I had was try to add some value, right?
Okay.
That's why they were paying me, add value. And my third goal was to avoid drama at all costs. Corporate drama is bad. But yet, in today's society, it seems like the whole do your job and add value is somewhere in the backseat to let's generate some more drama because that gets me clicks, that gets me follows, which evidently they think evolve into votes.
Wow. Just to listen to you say that, I mean, it's so true and oh my gosh, depressing in a way. Corporate drama. It's just like, you know, more and more and more.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, thank you, Bill. I cannot wait to listen to the song. Now, before we actually flow into that part of the episode, I know that you are also offering a little bit of an extra bonus for our subscription audiences. Is that another song or why don't you tell us what that is?
Yeah, it's another song that has a lot of science fiction references to it. It talks about, I call it is what it is till it's not. Right. So I'm a big fan of free speech and I am not a fan of people's speech being restricted. And I'm really not a fan of what seems to be termed cancel culture. Right. I don't like what you say. Therefore, I'm going to cancel you, you know, and that's really what that song is about. It talks a lot about our friends in Washington, right? It talks a lot about people who think they have the power to cancel somebody. And it talks a lot about, well, it's the title. It is what it is. That's the society we live in today, right? But the point is, it is what it is till it's not. We have the ability to change that. It may take a long time and it may take a lot of votes, but we have the ability to change that. We don't really have to live in that.
So interesting to hear you say this because, I mean, this just goes straight to my heart. I have a new historical fiction novel. There are freedom of speech issues. I'm totally with you on the cancel culture. I feel like I grew up in an age and stage and world and planet where you could say anything and now you cannot. But in terms of, I have to ask you, I mean, is it going to take votes? This is not something that we can do ourselves. That's what it requires for us to get those votes in order to change the situation?
Well, not necessarily, but it's part of it. You know, there's no black and white, here's the answer. But I think that there's an element of politics involved in that because it's allowed, right? I also think that we have a culture that has evolved into what I call always tell the teacher, right? So you see something you don't like, you call the teacher, you tell the teacher. Well, that's evolved. As people get older, there's no more teachers. So what do? You call a lawyer. I don't like something you said. I'm going to call my lawyer. And that whole tell the teacher scenario is really a bad thing. But that's what we've done. And that's how we operate. So I have several friends of mine that are lawyers. And some of the cases that they get, fortunately enough, these are pretty good lawyers. They turn them down. But some of the cases that they get proposed to them are really crazy. It's just nuts. It's stuff that you and I could sit down and have an adult conversation about and probably resolve. But having that conversation doesn't get you a lot of ink. that'd get you a lot of likes, that'd get you a lot of follows, that'd get you a lot of press. So
back to that. Yeah. Amazing. It is what it is till it's not. That is for our subscription audiences. So if you are interested, please do subscribe. Links are in the show notes. And Bill, I think we've got to have you back on this show because there's so much more of your music that I want to explore and talk to you about the threads that run through because I'm finding this fascinating.
Yeah, so I'll give you a challenge then. Can I give you a challenge?
Yes, please do.
So yeah, you have two of my songs, right? Mm-hmm. You have the Save Your Drama for Your Mama, which is kind of fun, kind of cute. It's just got statements in it, right? And then you've got It Is What It Is Till It's Not. And you are a science fiction expert, correct?
Okay.
So what
me?
I would
Are you
like,
referring to me? Or
yeah,
just,
yeah, you and oh your audience. Gosh. You and okay. your audience. So here's your challenge, right? I've given this to some friends of mine who found it fascinating and fun to do. I want you to listen to those two songs, and I want you to find and document, just write a note to yourself, what is Bill referencing then? Is it 1984? Is it Atlas Shrugged? Is it Big Brother? Is it Brave New World? Is it because they're all in there somewhere?
I see.
It's a fun. See, it's a challenge.
Okay. So, all right. For folks who are up for this challenge, please get in touch with us at my website, www.renita.com/contact, and send us the answer to this challenge. What are these songs related to? Which of these, or is it another work of science fiction? And I'm going to check with Bill. And if you get the answer right, whoever you are, we're going to send you something special. I'm not going to reveal what that is right now, but a giveaway. You're going to get something special in your inbox. So once again, www.renita.com/contact is where you send that answer. Bill, where can our audiences find out more about your work, your songs, your music, anything you want to tell us?
Yeah, I always tell people I'm like a bad rash. I'm all over it. I won't go away. So like a social media thing, I'm on it. The best place to go is my website. So it's just BillAbernathy.com. And on there, you can find out, you know, all my social media links and contact information, all that stuff. There's also quite a bit of information in there about the albums themselves and some that they've done, you know, some of their awards and number ones and all that fun stuff. So BillAbernathy.com is really a good place to start.
Bill, thank you so much for being a guest today on the True Fiction Project.
Oh, so much fun. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. That was Bill Abernathy. He is a singer, a songwriter, a masterful storyteller who has nurtured a long-lasting bond with his audience, carving a niche for him in the hearts of music lovers across the world. Now, for the next part of this episode, we get to listen to his music, specifically his song, Save Your Drama for Your Mama. This is the True Fiction Project, and I am your host, Renita Hora.
You know where your business would be without you. Imagine where it could go with more of you. Well, with Wix, you can create a website with more of your vision, your voice, your expertise. Wix gives you the freedom to truly own your brand and do it on your own, with full customization and advanced AI tools that help turn your ideas into reality. Scale up without being held back by cookie-cutter solutions and grow your business into your online brand. Because without you, your business is just business as usual. Take control. Go to Wix.com.
And now to the premise of the True Fiction Project, which of course is to create fiction out of nonfiction.
Shrugging off the blame. We're all so sick and tired of all your politics and games. Save your drama for your mama. You're driving me insane. Claiming all's okay. Inflation's just another transitory phase. So take that long vacation while the markets take a bath, drowning in their policies, 'cause they don't get the math. This new green force transition is booming all their stocks. They fought before they passed the bill to maximize their profit, while Mother Earth is ripped and raved, and no one seems concerned by slaves and children digging mines to post record returns. So save your drama for your mama. You all should be ashamed. Save your drama for your mama. Quit shrugging off the blame. We're all so sick and tired of all your politics and games. Save your drama for your mama. You're driving me insane. They set the stage to tell their tales, dystopian and spooky. With this lie, they scream their lies to fire up their groupies. And if you're not in their club, IRS's lawyers will make sure that you're audited by presidential order. So listen what they really say, delusional and crazy, claiming they can save the world by spending all your money. They filibuster, pose and lie, proving there's no doubt that the next pandemic in the USA is diarrhea. Tired of all your politics and games. Save your drama for your mama. You're driving me. Save your drama for your mama. You're driving me insane. Save your drama for your mama. Quit shrugging off the blame. We're all so sick and tired of all your politics and games. Save your drama for your mama.
Here at the True Fiction Project, we're always looking for great stories that make for compelling fiction. So if you have a great story or know someone who does, or if you're a writer who'd like to be featured on the show, then please do get in touch with us at runita.com/contact. And if you haven't signed up for our newsletter, then you can do so by visiting substack.com/@runitahora, all spelled out one word. That's substack.com/@RENITAHORA. I'll be offering paid subscribers something a little extra special each time, including a video version of this podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.